Well, why don't we get started? And I'm Steve Metalitz. Welcome to the... yes, I was about to get to that. We can start the recording, and I will welcome you to the commercial stakeholder group meeting. Is the recording going?
Yes, recording.
Thank you. So welcome to the meeting of our stakeholder group. You've got an agenda sheet here. Up here at the head table, you have the leadership of the three constituencies that are make up the stakeholder group, along with Benny, who is the secretariat to the business constituency. And I want to start off just by picking up on something Marilyn said upstairs, and that is to thank Benny for all the work that she has put into making this making these events possible. Again, she works for the business constituency, not for all the three constituencies, but she has done incredible job in mastering all these logistical challenges, which you can imagine are pretty serious. And so we're here. We have an agenda. We've got everything arranged. So I'd like, as the first order of business, to just to thank Benny for her efforts on this. Okay, maybe we should have the head table people introduce themselves, and just so everyone knows who's here, I think we have time for everybody in the audience to introduce themselves as well. We have 5 minutes. So I'm Steve Metalitz with the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Christina Rosette, Intellectual Property Constituency.
Tony Harris, ISPCB constituency.
Tony Holmes, chair of the ISPCB.
Alisa Cooper, CSG rep for the BC.
Bernard Pelosi, BC secretariat.
Okay, and what I'd like to do, our guest has arrived, and so before we go through the introductions of the whole audience, which I think is will take a few minutes, and of course it'll take us a second to get ourselves organized up here. I'd like to thank Akram Atala for coming to meet with us. He's even busier now, I suspect, than he was the last time we met with him. Not only is he the chief operating officer of ICANN, but he's also the interim CEO, or will be on July 1st when the current CEO's contract expires. And of course, we've all met the incoming CEO and are looking forward to working with him. But Akram is in charge until Fadi arrives on the scene. So we really appreciate your taking the time to be with us. And I'd be happy just to turn it over to you for any comments or remarks you want to make, and then we will have some discussion. I know your time is limited, so please.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be here. Everybody keeps thanking me for being here. That's my job, but thanking you for being here. You're volunteering to contribute to ICANN, and that's who should be thanked. I'd rather leave it to the questions so I can use the time most appropriately. So thank you again, and please, if we can move forward quickly, because I have to be out within 25 minutes, I think. So thanks.
Okay, thank you. So let me open the floor to questions or from the head table for questions to kick things off. So, Marilyn, do you want to go first? And everyone, please identify yourself for the because we have people participating remotely and for the transcript.
My name is Marilyn Cade, and I chair the business constituency, and I'll join others in welcoming you, Akram. We were fortunate as the BC to capture Akram at his first meeting to ICANN and have an introductory sandwich lunch. I think we omitted the sandwiches, but we had a great interaction. I'd like to make a point and ask you, to give some thought with us to how we can be of help. Looking at where we are as ICANN, both internally and externally, obviously our workload's growing in many, many ways, but operational performance and the goal of operational excellence, I think, is actually one of our best defenses to external threats. And also growing expectation as, in particular, for this particular community, as lots of brands are now thinking very seriously about coming to ICANN in very large numbers and very often without a prior experience of the perhaps somewhat more casual environment that ICANN has existed in the past. So the challenges of operational performance and operational excellence, and I don't mean just in the new GTLD program, but very broadly, are very much on the minds of the business constituency.
Thank you, Marilyn. We are definitely going through a major change, both with the new GDLD, but more importantly, with the expectations from the organization. I think that right now, with the growth comes visibility, and with visibility comes a lot of expectations and scrutiny. A lot of the things that we used to do that were small projects here and there now are becoming bigger projects of that require much more discipline, much more rigor in the way we do things. So that's on our mind. We have put in place a operational readiness program. If you look at the budget, you'll see the spending going mostly toward that, toward the operational readiness, toward the end of FY13, when we really are going to have more of these two GTLDs start being delegated or about to start being delegated, and we're planning our exit of FY13 at almost 200 people in the organization. So our budget has gone up substantially to be able to accommodate all the changes that are ahead of us. With any change comes opportunities. I think we have some opportunities to improve the things that we do. Not only the things that we do internally, but the way we do things with our constituents. So we are trying to accommodate all your requirements so that we can do things more productively and help you deliver more productivity to the organization. We know that there is stress on the volunteers, that there are a few percentage of the volunteers that do the majority of the work, and we want to figure out how to help you bring more resources, but also want to help you to be more productive as well. So there are a lot of issues that we're facing as we grow the organization, and we have to, as Marilyn said, we have to work on every front, not only the new GTLD program. Namely, one of the things that we're seeing happening with the new brands that are coming in, they don't understand ICANN. They don't understand basically that we have one RAA and we have three people, I think, right now that support 1,000 registrars, and they expect us to actually have an account manager for them. So you can take that and multiply it by 2,000 and say, you know, we can't do this. This is not a customer relationship here. We're not going out looking for customers. So the expectations have to be changed also from these guys as well. And so so we have to figure out how to get there, and there's going to be some bumps along the road, along the way, but we're planning for some mitigation, and we have to actually change the expectations from the other side and raise our effectiveness on our side. So I hope that addresses a little bit of the question.
I'm just going to respond that but thank you for that tidbit of an insight. As someone who worked in the corporate world for quite a long period of time, I can understand how brands do bring the expectation that there's an assigned. That's helpful for us to know, because we're just beginning to deepen our discussions with brands who are coming about their expectations.
Yes, Ellen, I think, has a question.
Thank you. Ellen Shankman from the IPC. Although this is my personal question, not in the name of the IPC necessarily. I'm curious about the terminology, change their expectations. I fully agree that the brands coming in have no idea how ICANN works. I think that all of us who have been at ICANN are struggling with how ICANN works, and it's a lot to understand, and it's a new and different model. But I think that in closing the gap between expectations and delivery needs to be the goal, asking or assuming that what we really have to do is educate them to change their expectations might not be the right target.
No, I agree with you. And what I meant was to actually both ways, right? We have to raise our delivery, which means we have to go toward more of a customer management, especially that our contracts are not going to be an RAA. They're going to be a different contract with each registry if they decide to negotiate the standard contract. So it's not going to be as black and white as it is today. So that means we need to deliver more, but at the same time, we cannot go to a standard commercial organization where you have a worldwide sales force and you have account managers, and so we have to kind of also bring their expectations in line with what we can deliver. So it has to work from both ways, and hopefully find the middle ground as soon as possible instead of after much pain. So,
hi, Jeff Brueggemann with AT&T. There have been, you know, some issues with the application process that have gotten some press attention, and I know ICANN is working hard to remedy those, but at some point, do you have plans to issue some kind of a public assessment of what happened and how the steps are going to be taken to address it going forward? I think that's a helpful part of showing that ICANN is taking the appropriate steps going forward to look at these issues.
Yes, definitely. We are planning to have a review of the process and to just look at back at what went wrong, but more importantly, look at what is it that we can improve on and do better. Yes, we planning to do that. I think we plan to start something as soon as we get out from Prague. I don't know exactly how long it will take to put the review team together and to get the review done, but you know, we will be taking this underway very shortly.
Yes, thank you, Akram. Tony Holmes, chair of the ISPCP. It was interesting to hear your response to that last question, that there is an intent to address that. But one of the broader issues that some of us are struggling with at the moment is to look to help protect ICANN with some of the external challenges that are around. And to help us do that, it's particularly good if we can actually carry some positive messages out there. And one of the things that really needs some focus is to help us to get the word out there. I don't think it's just enough to put positive messages out to the ICANN community. We're aware of the good things ICANN does as well as the challenges inside. But we actually need some help by getting some positive messages out to a much broader basis. And that's one of the things that really ICANN, I would suggest, needs to pay some attention to, particularly across the next 6 months. Have you any intent or any idea of how to address that?
So it is right now challenging for me to come up with these ideas, given the amount of work that we have in front of us. It is my biggest focus right now is to get the program back on track and, you know, make sure that we deliver on the next phase. The one thing that, you know, we could say is that we actually moved beyond the application phase, and now we're moving into the evaluation phase. So that's an important part of the program. I think that doing this with the quality and the transparency that the program requires will be something we can talk about afterwards. The question is, you know, what kind of things could we put out there that would help you to leverage into the broader community? I mean, we do a lot of things right. The one thing that we, you know, we made an error on gets all the publicity. So we're working with communication on changing that tide, but it is not as easy. The things that go right normally don't get the press. The press doesn't want to talk to us about these things. So it's a challenging thing to put out. But I think that you know, the biggest thing that we could do is, I think, if we can make some progress on the RAA in the next few months, that will get visibility, and hopefully we can actually work on getting, you know, more progress there, and try to get that as the front news for us, especially if we can incorporate all the law enforcement requirements and or some kind of a agreement between the law enforcement and the registrars. I think that will go a long way. So that's the focus area for us in the next 3 to 6 months. So.
Akram, it's Marilyn Cade. I actually want to ask a follow-up to Tony's question. I had a different interpretation of what Tony meant. So rather than asking him, I'm going to just restate. I'm just going to state my everybody in this room is a advocate for ICANN. And since the community is ICANN, we're actually almost the PR firm in a way that perhaps it's not fully incorporated or understood. I see people in this room that have association newsletters or whose law firms have pages about activities. It's not always earned media or paid media that can distribute information. Associations are very effective at putting materials into their newsletters. I see corporations here who have customer newsletters. And information that we can use, I think, is far more than about the new GTLD program. I think perhaps, to me, all the air has been sucked out of the room by the new GTLD program and the good stuff we do, working with CCs or, you know, doing something. So I would ask, is it possible to think about a adjacent communications strategy to generate materials that can be recycled? That's probably not a good communications term. I'm looking for John Berard. Repurposed. Thanks.
Yeah, I like the idea. I think that we should try to deliver on that. I'll work with the communications team and see what we can do. That's good.
Yes. Thanks. Marilyn's interpretation was exactly where I was coming from, because certainly with the communications capabilities we have now, I constantly receive messages that tell me some of the good things ICANN does. Whenever I look in the press, I only ever see the bad stories. And that's something that I think needs to have some attention over this next period in particular, when we come into some really difficult negotiations that impact on ICANN, that others need to be aware of the good things. And that doesn't appear to be happening too much.
This is John Burrard with the business constituency. So as we are all working for you in terms of outreach, what would you say is the bit about ICANN that is least well understood and that we could most first focus on?
Oh, boy. I believe that a lot of organizations can do what we do, but nobody can do it the way we do it, and that's a multi-stakeholder model. And I don't think that when you talk to somebody outside of ICANN and you say it's a multi-stakeholder model, that they actually understand what it means. We do, but I don't think that the public really understands what it takes to get, you know, thousands of volunteers to show up, do work, and push this forward, you know, with only what's on their mind is, you know, making the internet better. I think that is a tough thing to get outside. But if we can, I think that would be that will play to our strengths, which is our differentiation. So I think that's the biggest message that we can, you know, work on and get to the outside world. So, and I would, you know, would look forward to our communications team to start focusing more on that. So,
thanks, Akin. Chris Chaplow, Vice Chair, Finance and Operations, the business constituency. That conversation just reminded me of something. I got here, I wasn't quite in time for the press conference for the new CEO, but I was online in the hotel room and watching the press conference and following it on Twitter, which is a good indicator at the end of the day, and seeing this sort of constant stream following the #ICANN hashtag. And we often talk about dangers of ITU and governments and things like that, but there's also a sort of very nebulous danger of a huge amount of cynicism out there. You know, what does the new CEO do for this money was a constant stream on Twitter. And I actually thought, God blimey, how would you answer that in 144 characters? Somebody did actually and gave a link to the budget and operating plan and said, just look at this. This is what it does for that money. And I actually thought that was quite good. So I just want to draw everyone's attention really to that other problem, in inverted commas, this sort of cynicism about ICANN is just a money-spinning machine, because that is out there. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Bill?
Sure. Bill Smith with PayPal, and a member of the business constituency. I like the discussion around messaging that we can give. I participate a lot at the ITU. I see staff members there, member states, representative of member states. ICANN is very poorly understood, actually. Everything outside of the ITU is poorly understood by the many of the people who participate there. A suggestion in messaging that we do, would be to avoid the term multi-stakeholder. The ITU now has latched on to that and is claiming to be a multi-stakeholder organization. I would suggest that we list, basically, some of the major constituents, that governments participate, business participates, civil society participates. That's civil society in particular is something that is lacking at the ITU, and I see no way that they are going to be able to get around that problem in the short term. Nor is there an appetite to get around that. They don't want some of those voices in the room. I think we have strong messages in that area. With the GAC, we have 100-plus, last I knew, nations that participate. That is a very strong message, because the ITU comes back and says, well, but we're the only one that has a significant number of nation states. That's not true, right? what are the things that ICANN does, and get out of the terminology that we all understand and start addressing some of basically where the specifically where the attacks have come, I believe, and just put out some messaging. And I don't think it should be ICANN, really, that delivers this, but I would hope that ICANN communication staff could put some of these messages together for us. And then we can tailor them as we need. But it's a very real threat. And it isn't just the ITU staff. There are member states that have no idea. I ran into a representative here from the Arab region who I had worked with at the ITU. First time ever in an ICANN meeting. Has never been to an IETF meeting. Okay? I was very happy to see him. There is another representative from that nation here. The person I knew has had to leave. But it's very encouraging to me. But we need to get a message out about what it is that we do for those who have no idea whatsoever. And it needs to be in language they understand and appreciate. So I think it's a very, very important thing for us to do. And I certainly deliver the message as best I can when I'm out.
Thank you.
Let me ask if there are other questions. I'm going to recognize myself if there are no other questions right now. Was there one? Fred, I'm sorry.
Hi, it's Fred Fellman from Mark Monitor. And I just sort of wonder, I'm in marketing, and so I'm sort of used to putting messages around services. And I think we're talking about the wrong end of the horse here. We have to be talking about what are we going to do to change the organization to actually gain public confidence as opposed to how you're going to market it. I think it's time to take some steps to actually convince folks that actually we understand that this is a big task that we're taking on to change the internet and its resource correctly. And I don't think that comes across when you look at the failures that you've seen in terms of systems. I don't think it comes across in terms of the way the organization presents itself to the public. And so we can talk about positioning all day long, but unless you're going to really talk about actually how you're going to change the organization institutionally to actually make it earn the respect, all the marketing in the world will do nothing.
Okay, if I could, this is Bill Smith, if I could quickly jump on. I agree with Fred. The problem I think we have right now, at least at the ITU, is if I go in with a message that says we're going to improve it, they will just latch on to that and say, see, there's more evidence that it's wrong. So I agree, and we need to do it now. I just don't want us to message necessarily. It's a complex issue.
So I appreciate what you said, and I think that's, that's a fact of life. You have to always earn the trust. No matter what organization you are, you cannot live on your laurels or on the success that you've had yesterday. People have very short memory these days, so it's very important for us to improve and earn our reputation. There is no question about that. I think that we're talking about two parallel things. We're talking about making sure that we earn the trust, deliver on our operational excellence, and show that we deserve this, the role that we're playing. So that's something that has to happen, and it has to happen and get redone every day. And so that there's no question about that. I think that what the discussion was about is also what can we do to arm our constituents with materials that they can actually help promote the total picture of ICANN and not just what's in the news. I think, if I understood it correctly, I think that's what I'm, taking from this conversation. So thank you.
Akram, I know your time is very limited, so do we have time for one more question? When do you have to leave?
Sure.
Okay. Mark?
Hello, my name is Mark Partridge. I'm with the IPC. I attend these meetings as a representative from the American Bar Association, and from the American Intellectual Property Law Association. But these are my personal comments, not theirs. In addition to the things you're discussing here, I'd encourage you and ICANN as an organization to engage in the outer world. I think that a lot of associations come here to these meetings. We have a number of different associations that are present. I don't think we feel at our associations that members of ICANN come and engage with us in those communities, and I think you would benefit greatly from that. You have a lot of allies in these associations who want to keep governance of the Internet in private hands and take advantage by having people engage. You can engage at AIPLA. We'd welcome you and glad to have you there to help get people to understand. What becomes familiar is we become more comfortable with it. And right now, ICANN is not a familiar entity to most of the business and legal world. It's a strange entity that is where the message that we're hearing is that each time something gets publicized, it's strike one, strike two, strike three. So my message, and I would ask you, do you have any ever have any discussions in that light to engage outside the ICANN community with the other associations who have been engaging here?
So, you know, when you're doing a global service and you're a small organization, you have to do alternative methods of engagement. And I think our method of engagement is through you guys. And by inviting you to the meetings and by putting the informations and the meetings and all of that, that's our kind of engagement. Although I think that, you know, if there are opportunities to present to any association or countries for that matter, or governments or whatever, to bring more people into the fold of the ICANN community, I think we should do that. And that goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about earlier. I think that there are more in the community that understand ICANN and they can present ICANN in a good light than there are in the staff. And so it would be interesting if we could form method way to do to leverage these resources with the tools and the ability to take the word and spread the word out in a bigger way. So, you know, it's something that we should look into and try to figure out how to, get the word out faster and with all the people that we have in the community. So.
Okay. Do you have to go or do you have time?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, two more questions. Aisha and then go.
Thank you. Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. We've been focusing in many discussions on the external and internal threats to ICANN. We've also had a very substantive session yesterday on Internet governance and ICANN and the Internet governance landscape. And since we're going to be going through an important transition period, I just wanted to flag up that it would be helpful to be really thinking about how fast things are going to go this fall in the landscape, and to ensure that ICANN is, with everything going on, prepared to communicate and to be present in the various things that are going to be happening, because there are very strategic dimensions to all of that. For instance, you know, I know the preparations for the IGF are running like a speed train right now, and it's often in the midst of big transitions, certain things that may not seem critical for a day-to-day kind of activity may not get the attention. So my message is I hope that along the way with all the very critical day-to-day work that we're also keeping an eye on the strategic issues that are going to be coming up before us very quickly. Thank you.
Phil, last question or comment, and please identify yourself.
Yeah, Philip Corwin, a member of the business constituency. Thank you for being here. Just a quick comment. I operate as an attorney and lobbyist in Washington. I would urge that I can, as rapidly as possible, resolve the matter of the renewal of the IANA contract to get that question mark away from hanging over the organization. And I'd also suggest that when your colleague, the new CEO, takes office, that after the U.S. election, that he spent some time in Washington meeting with the chairman of the key committees, introduce himself, make a good – he's made a great first impression here. I think he can make the same impression there. It was very telling that a few weeks ago when the House Energy and Commerce Committee had a hearing on the U.N. threat to the Internet, not one member of the committee spoke up to tout ICANN favorably. The only favorable comment came from Vince Cerf, who was a witness. I think you have an opportunity to change that, and I would urge at future hearings that the CEO show up. When there's a problem with Chase Manhattan, Jamie Dimon doesn't send subordinates. He shows up and is the witness. I think you need the same level of engagement in Washington. Not to say it's more important than other capitals, but it is very important to ICANN. So I hope that advice is well taken. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Akram. I was going to say we look forward to working with you, but we have been working with you, and we'll continue to work with you. Thanks very much for taking the time to be
thank
with
you.
Us. Okay. Most of the rest of the agenda is focused on – I mean, there's a lot of overlap between the topics that we had identified and some of the topics that we'll be talking about in the board meeting – in the meeting with the board coming up at 11:15. On your sheet, you see the three topics that we that the CSG put forward. Just in case you're not aware of the process – normally, we're asked, what topics do you want to discuss with the board? And then the board comes back to us with topics that they want to discuss. And sometimes there's some overlap. This time, I think we have to kind of interweave the two sets of topics. You see on the sheet the topics that we proposed. They're kind of general. They're not tied to specific policy questions or specific action items. The board came back to us with four items that they wanted to discuss, and they were all quite specific. One is the Who Is Policy Review Team report. One is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement revisions. The third one is the budget process, not the FY13 budget, but the process going forward. And the fourth, not surprisingly, is batching and that whole set of topics about moving forward on the evaluation process for new GTLDs. So we have to kind of interweave these, I think. And I think it's quite possible to do it. Obviously, when we talk about the internal issues and the external vulnerabilities, I think Akram even mentioned the Registrar Accreditation Agreement as one very important thing that's on ICANN's plate right now, and that I think a successful outcome there will be very helpful in the external world as well. And, of course, these are all challenges facing the incoming CEO. But just to talk about these topics and then one more topic that we have listed under Agenda Item 3, I think we have pretty firm positions on many of these, or at least I'd like to see. I think we do. I think the one that is really in flux a bit now is the whole question of batching because it's a moving target. I know our constituency opposed the digital digital archery approach, and maybe not for exactly the same reasons that some others opposed it, but we did not think it was a well-conceived plan. And I think we're seeing, you know, that plan is – I don't think there was any support for that plan, and what support there was is kind of evaporating. So I don't think that's really on the table, and there's the question now, as I understand it, is do we move to a single – do we dispense with batching and just start processing evaluations and having an equivalent of a big reveal day at some point down the line where ICANN announces who has passed, who has not passed, and who's been sent to extended evaluation. So that on those things, I'm not sure that our constituencies have reached a position, and so I'm not quite sure how we will respond to the board on that topic. So if there's, unless people have another suggestion of how to proceed, I'd like to start with that topic and just see, you know, what do we think we can tell the board at this point on the batching question? Again, given the fact that this meeting with the board precedes the meetings of our constituencies. I've never quite understood that, but that's how it is. So let me open the floor to comments on the batching question. We'll start with John and then Christina.
John Berard with the business constituency. So in the last couple of days, both through the weekend work sessions of the GNSO Council and then the unofficial RUMP get-together that led by Thomas Rickert, non-nominating committee appointee to the council yesterday, and then the public session that Kurt led, it's become, I think, clear to me, linguistically at least, that the problem to which we are seeking a solution is sequencing, and that batching and digital archery and other things were potential approaches to solving that problem. So whether digital archery lives or dies, whether batching lives or dies, and I suspect that neither of them is, they're probably both on life support, I think is the best you could say for both of them. There remains a problem to be solved, and that's sequencing. What is the order in which applications are going to be evaluated? What is the order in which that evaluation will be revealed? What is the order in which those that are approved will be added to the route? There was as close to unanimity as I have heard in a long time, both from community applicants and IDN applicants and commercial applicants, that there can be a significant time to market discrepancy, that, and then, of course, the ESAC, we're talking about the fact that even once we begin introducing these new TLDs into the route, we may, if there become technical problems, need to throttle it back. So we will need to manage it even further. So there's a fourth control on things. So I think that from a linguistic perspective, I would like to suggest that we talk about the fact that sequencing is the problem. Batching and digital archery may have been proposed solutions, neither of which may seem to work, but certainly something still needs to be figured out.
My personal view, and I've never been a fan of digital archery, I don't know that I'm necessarily in a position to propose an alternative that's going to be acceptable to everyone. But in my view, the issue of batching, I think, really highlights the need for ICANN. They really, really need to get this right. And if they need to take a week or extra time, not too much, to make sure that whatever it is they're going to adopt, that they have fully done all of the worst-case scenarios, the best-case scenarios, the sequential modeling, they need to do that. Because from my community, whether it's applicants or non-applicants, the continual problems are really eroding confidence. And the last thing I think they really need at this point would be to come out immediately after this meeting with a new process for sequencing, only to later discover that there's some type of consequence that they didn't anticipate. It's just getting very hard to defend ICANN's implementation of this program at this point.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Del Bianco, business constituency. John's right in the distinction between sequencing and batching, because batching is optional, but sequencing is essential. You have to sequence, because sequencing is the order in which they get delegated or the order in which they get evaluated. So the business constituents, you asked Steve about existing positions, and the BC had commented on the guidebook in multiple iterations, and our position had been that we had wanted smaller initial rounds so that systems could get tested under a more limited delegation scenario. Since that time, we know because of the route stability that roughly, 20 a week would be what they think could be delegated. And Patrick Falstrom and the ESAC discussed at yesterday's forum that that number would be subject to constant feedback loop revision. They may have to slow that down if it turns out that the performance of delegation and changes to the root zone are affecting performance. The BC went on to say that the character of those that should receive priority were community-based TLDs and those that serve underserved communities and add value to the zone. And we variously discussed that as saying favoring a community-targeted TLD and also IDNs, because there is the very definition of an underserved communities would be the users and registrants for IDNs. So I think it would be wise for the CSG to think about ways to characterize the priority that would be given, because that will affect the discussion of the sequence, who goes first. And who goes first is a far more important concept than the notion of who gets into which batch, because I don't really think batching will occur. It strikes me, I agree with John Berard, in that I don't think batching will matter. It looks as if we're going to dump it all into one giant batch for evaluation. And when they come out, those that are clear still have to figure out who gets first in line.
Okay, I'm going to take a cue. We have Bill, Tony, Phil. I'm just trying to bounce back and forth here.
Okay. Bill Smith, PayPal. So I think Steve's point, he makes some excellent points, or the BC has, however it came about. But what are the priorities? I would certainly support internationalized domain names as going first. I do think it's, I agree the batching appears to be pushed off to the side, not likely to happen. Perhaps we want to ask the applicants if they have a preference as well. There may be applicants who would choose to go later and say, it's not that important to us to be in the first round. We're happy to go later to allow, people who do care about this to get into the round sooner rather than later. So I think we need to consider some less prescriptive mechanisms for regulating the way things get put out. Sometimes just asking people if they will accept being later could work.
Before we continue in the queue, I just want to remind everyone that there are sign-up sheets that I think are circulating, and you do need to sign up. There you go. There's some back there. If you haven't signed them, please do so, and Benny should get them ultimately, and so that way we'll have a record of who is here. So please do that. I think Tony was next, and then Phil and Elisa.
Thanks, Steve. I just wanted to answer your question at the start where you were wondering where the three constituencies stood on this. Within the ISPCP, we haven't actually taken a position on batching. But the thing that is important for us, the overriding thing, is that whatever is chosen as the way forward actually delivers. And I think all of us should be very aware that a lot of ICANN's future is riding on a successful completion of what is this flagship program. And whatever decisions we make, wherever we come from within the whole issue of the new GTLDs, the overriding concern we should have is to make sure that what comes out of that delivers a quality product. Otherwise, it's a disaster for everybody.
Thank you. Phil?
Phil Corwin in the BC. In regard to the sequencing, it's important to the folks I represent. And I think we have to look at the numbers because communities and IDNs, my recollection is there's not a lot of them. But we do want to see, because competition was one of the key justifications for the new TLD program, particularly with the .com renewal, which we know is going to go to VeriSign and has built-in allowable price increase. It's important to have a fair mix of generics fairly early on to start getting some price competition in the TLD space for the folks I represent. So we just wouldn't want to see a system that puts generics automatically last in line. We want a fair mix of different types going forward as the evaluation is completed for various TLDs. Thank you.
Okay, Elisa and Jamie, and who else was in the queue? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
getting to the subject of sequencing, which I think is very important, obviously, I think by the time you get to sequencing, the total number of applications will have been sensibly reduced because all those that are in contention, you only have one left out of the various applicants for the same name. And when you do get to sequencing, one perhaps equitable way of proceeding would be to go on a round-robin basis where, I mean, we have applicants who the same organization has requested, I don't know, 80, 100, or 200 strings. Well, if you went on a round-robin assignment in the sequencing process, their name would come up as an organization, as an applicant, once with all the other people who have only one application, perhaps, and then after that, they'd get their second name, and then their third, and their fourth. So basically, if you did that, I think we could take the example with the .eu did that when they went into the land rush. Registrars could not, at one single intent, register 100 or 200 names, but they had to go into this round-robin sequence, and then it would come back to them after it had gone around all the other people. So I think this would be one way of resolving an equitable approach to sequencing, which would not disenfranchise anyone, as, for instance, if you went category and said, well, first IDNs or first anybody else, you would be disenfranchising other people.
So I actually have spoken with a number of the applicants. Sorry. Elisa Cooper. I have actually spoken with a number of the applicants, and for them, an equitable solution is what is most important. And so, you know, the releasing of the initial evaluation results all at one time so that no one applicant is given that market advantage is very important. So given that, one thing I question is whether sequencing is really necessary, because when you come out of initial evaluation, naturally some of the applicants after initial evaluation are going to have to be put into their contention sets. In some cases, within those contention sets, you're going to then have your community evaluation. Some of them are going to have to naturally go on to extended evaluation. Some are going to be requiring extended evaluation of the technical infrastructure piece. So I think there will be naturally this sequencing that will occur depending on the type of application. If an applicant wants to move quickly and wants to sign the contract with ICANN without any revision, that's one way to get out into the market more quickly. If somebody wants to sort of negotiate with ICANN and see if they can make any changes to that contract, so be it. Those will probably end up being delegated later. But I think for the applicants, having that equitable solution where everyone is sort of given the same chance is really important.
Okay. Jamie, Ellen, let me just see who else wants to be in the queue.
Can I? Jamie Wagner with ISPCP. I'm from Brazil, and I would like to follow up on what Steve said. With sequencing means prioritizing, and it's not a priority to applications, but to applicants. And the number of applicants is not as large as the number of applications. So is there a possibility this prioritization wouldn't come after some thought, would come follow in categorizing applicants? And and I see some voices saying that refusing categories here. So I would ask if BC or IPC has already did this discussion that we did in the ISPCP, if you came up with some agreement among yourselves about the kind of priority that could be offered, and if it implies categories and categories of applicants or not. That's a question for you, Steve.
Okay. Ellen, Christina, and then Steve. I thought he was asking all of the constituencies about that.
Steve Del Bianco with the business constituency. Thanks, Jamie. I believe that we have discussed in the BC, speaking just for the BC, the notion of categories. And when you looked at the underserved communities as well as generics, it'd be interesting to come up with three or four categories and go round robin through the categories. But it still, to address what Elisa said, I think the numbers are sobering with 1,400 unique strings. If you count the ones that are likely to be kicked out or have contention, the ones that have extended evaluation, you're still looking at a roughly 1,000 strings that will probably come out of evaluation ready to go. 1,000 strings. No, I did strings. There will be 1,000 strings. And this is a statistics that were discussed yesterday. Andrea Koselnikov had done an analysis, and his estimate was 1,300. But, I mean, 1,150, he thought. So let's call it 1,000. There will be 1,000 strings, and if a sizable chunk of them decide to go with the standard contract, then, Lisa, we could have several hundred, at least, who are ready for delegation coming out of the initial evaluation. So I do think we want to plan ahead as if we will have more than the 20 a week that can go into delegation, and there will be some jockeying for position to get in line first. And so it only makes sense to think about that. Now, even if you did categories and said we have five categories, generic, geographical, community, IDN, and some other, you still have to say that if we're going to take one from each category, there's going to be multiple from each category. So you still have to find some method of saying that of all the geographics, who's in the first week, who's in the second week, who's in the third week. So I do think we have to confront a sizable number, and it makes sense to look at categories as a way to do that too.
Just before, as we pass the mic to Ellen, if the question was also addressed to the IPC, I mean, our discussion early on, it's not that long ago, was that, yes, there are categories recognized in the application process, IDNs, geographic, community, and those in contention sets with those. We now actually know the numbers. We know that will be 200 or 300 plus contention sets. I mean, I haven't calculated that, but, you know, obviously that adds quite a bit in some cases, at least of identical matches. So, you know, I think that's the last time we discussed this, that was our sense of what ought to go first, and that would be in line with what the economists who advised ICANN said were most likely to deliver greater value to the community, and also would I think help address what some GAC members referred to as the ICANN's catastrophic failure to attract a lot of applications from outside the usual region. So, you know, I think that's another option to put on the table. But again, I'm not sure we're going to get any consensus on that, certainly not today.
Okay. Ellen Shankman. One of the things that I would like, that I think we should, that I'd like to throw out to this and address, my understanding is that one of the purposes of this is to see what are joint positions that we can go together forward on. And I think that one of the things I'd like to suggest that perhaps we can go together forward on is attitude and prioritizing, which is one of the things that I found very disturbing about ICANN's attitude, especially with digital archery, was we got to plow ahead, plow ahead, plow ahead. Nobody came up with a better solution. We're going to plow ahead with this one. And only when there was tremendous resistance did they finally say, okay, now we'll listen and maybe come up with something better. If what we're coming out of now that we know what the batches are, however sequenced or batched or prioritized, is that what is a strong feeling here is everybody is saying whatever they do next has to be done right. And if it means that we have to wait a little longer for you to test your system or wait for all the evaluations to come out at the same time or whatever it may be, what we care about is that. And if it takes a little bit more time, I think if we're sending the message that says, okay, now everybody has a placeholder, we know who's going to be in it, breathe a little bit, test it, get it, you know, get the number of people you have to evaluate and do it all right, that our message now can switch from before innovation means rollout, rollout, rollout. We're saying, okay, now you've rolled it out. Now we want to see it implemented well, and we support your taking the time to do it right.
Thank you. In the queue, we have Tony Holmes, Tony Harris, Bill Smith, Christina, and then we're going to wrap up this topic.
Okay. Steve, that last intervention by Eleanor, I think was a good one, because I think that is a message we can take. And from what I'm hearing here, it's the only message we could take out of this. I don't think we're in a position to respond beyond that now. And if we're here as CSG prepping for the board, I think we're at that stage where we should recognize that and move on.
You've probably all heard in the different forums comments about the lack of participation from the continents such as Africa and Latin America and the Caribbean in the total application number of applicants. And it was our understanding that there was an intention in the original batching consideration in the first 500 there would be, for example, an initial availability of 100 slots for each continent. Obviously, in that scenario, all the Latin American applications, including my own, and from Africa, would get into the first batch. This may sound like favoritism, but it is true that for every Latin American and Caribbean application, there are 20 from the U.S., and I do think that this geographical consideration, which ICANN has paid attention to, might merit some consideration when we think of how we will move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Bill and Christina.
Bill Smith, PayPal. So I was struck by Steve's comments. And I think we need to do things that are equitable. I think we also need to do things that are in the, and our recommendations should consider the public interest. So Tony's comments about recognizing Latin America, IDNs, et cetera. Also, we should consider how this will be perceived from the outside. Okay, doing IDNs, addressing other continents first outside of North America and Europe, I would say, in particular, would be seen as a positive thing, I believe. Given that the numbers are relatively low, I personally don't see how this is a significant impact necessarily to other participants in the program. And my suggestion is that we put aside our personal or in corporate interests in this next process and say, what is in the interest of the community? And that actually, if we look at things from that perspective and agree we are going to do it and recommend that the board do that and take the time to do this right, that we'll actually come out with a good process. Externally, it will be perceived as the right thing to do, and ICANN is, in fact, discharging its responsibility properly. That would be very good.
Thank you. Christina.
A few points. I mean, if we go from what I'm hearing is likely to be GAC advice, namely that it should be a single batch, then you really are, in fact, just talking about sequencing after the initial evaluation results are posted, which means, picking up on what Ellen said, there is plenty of time for this to be decided. And I completely agree with what Ellen was saying in terms of making sure that it gets done properly. This is not something that needs to be decided here. If, in fact, the single batch, everything processed simultaneously, initial evaluation results go up all at once. Just a couple other observations. One is with regard to the round robin point. I think it's probably important to keep in mind that if you're going to do a round robin based solely on applicant, I think everyone needs to keep in mind that the 307 donuts applications are not actually all filed in the name of donuts. They're filed in the name of 307 different entities. So to the extent that one purpose of doing the round robin is to try and kind of balance that out, that method is not going to achieve that goal. And I may regret pointing this out, but I'm going to. And that is back in the GNSO final report. on new GTLDs. There was, in fact, an implementation guideline that called for first-come, first-served processing. That has kind of lain dormant. I'm not saying it's necessarily something we want to advocate for, but if the decision is made that we don't want to advocate for it, I think we need to keep in mind that it's out there and figure out how we plan to respond to it.
Okay, thank you. I think this has been a very good discussion, and I want to see if we can try to pull it together. As Tony pointed out, our goal here is to decide what we're telling the board, and we have several other topics. I heard three things. One is that the priority is to do it right, to make sure that whatever sequencing and or batching approach is taken is implementable and has been tested and isn't going to screw up like the last one. Second, that it is not an issue that needs to be decided right now. There is time to decide this, and that ICANN should proceed with the evaluation process, and then these difficult questions will have to be addressed then, obviously, but they don't have to be addressed today. And then the third point I heard is that the ultimate solution needs to respect the best interests of the community as a whole, taking into account kind of the external situation. I don't know that we can get any more specific than that, because we've heard a lot of different variations on what that outcome ought to be, and probably, as we said, it needs more discussion. So I'd like to put that, is that generally the summary, or are there things missing or things that should be subtracted from that? And I have Marilyn and then Elisa.
I had just one. I thought I got the sense that acting in the best interest of the community as a whole is actually different than acting in the best interest, acting in the public interest. Because I thought Bill was...
Bill Smith, when I said community, I meant the public interest.
Well, the only correction I would make personally, we can agree on it, is I think that ICANN needs to act in the public interest in any decision. Because if we use language that says act in the best interest of the community as a whole, the world is going to think that we're promoting the commercial interest of the applicants. So wording is really important on that.
I agree, although I think people could also say ICANN has to always act in the best in the public interest. So what does that mean in this case? There's going to be some decision, but we're obviously a long way from that, but Elisa.
And so this is Elisa Cooper. I just wanted to confirm that we agree that we withhold the results until we can show all of the results for the initial evaluation. Is that correct? Do we agree on that?
A single batch.
Yeah. Do we have to be more general than that, Steve?
There was a significant discussion this yesterday afternoon, and I wanted to share one insight. I'm not being judgmental, but I do believe this is meritorious. That if you put them all in, and nobody goes to delegation until all the initial evaluations are done, there is an argument that says that as an evaluation is concluded, the results could be revealed to the applicant. This allows the applicant to prepare their documents, finish their fundraising, decide whether to shut their ventures down. So you might reveal to the applicants, yes, you passed initial evaluation, or no, you did not. Since many cases, ICANN is having a conversation with the applicant in the process of an evaluation. That would allow them to know whether they've cleared it or not, even though nobody can move to delegation until all initial evaluations are done. So please consider that as a subtle distinction from the notion of nobody knows till the end of the reveal.
That may be more granular than we can deal with, and I think if it's revealed to an applicant, it's publicly revealed. So I'd have some concern about that, but I'm not sure we need to address that. John and Aisha, and then we do need to wrap this up.
This is John Berard. I'm going to side with Alicia on this one, that the market advantage of publicly being able to know and therefore talk about it is big.
Aisha, I think this is the last word on this topic.
I just am observing this. This is not an ICC position, but I didn't hear consensus on a one single batch approach in the discussion around this room. So I think that we're better off in communicating with the board at the level that we. I know that there's an existing position, et cetera, but I think at this opportunity, given the type of the 3 points that you did go through about in the public interest, in the community's interest, et cetera, and also I thought one point that we didn't get to that I heard was to emphasize how important it is that whatever approach is chosen must work, would be the kind of things that would be helpful given that the discussions haven't happened. But
well, that yeah, the first this is Steve Mattel. So the first one was my first point. The second
right.
point I had was publicly revealed all at once. So if there's not consensus on that, let's determine that.
I thought,
and then the third was public interest.
I think there is consensus on that, so I'm a little confused.
I could be mistaken. I just wanted to, when I was listening to different people's inputs and ideas and possible ways to approach this, I wasn't sure. So I just wanted to make sure. If that is the case, please go forward.
This is Jamie Wagner. I would like to support Aisha's understanding because I don't see how a single point of a single revelation goes in line with prioritizing. Prioritizing means sequencing. So I don't know how one single batch is.
Yeah, we're talking about
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going let me ask if there is objection to including into this a point as I have a second point that we would support the idea of all of the evaluation results being publicly released at one time. Is there any objection to that? Well, that's not inconsistent with that. I mean, if they just you know, but.
Maybe I have a solution to this. What if we ask for a scenario that included these characteristics so that we could better analyze it individually in our constituencies? And I don't mean a work plan, but I mean what if we presented the idea that an approach like this, because I think probably people do want to take it back and...
Okay. I think what I'm hearing is that anything we say to the board should be with the caveat that we have not had the chance to discuss this in our constituencies. I think that's absolutely right. But that this is coming out of this meeting, these were the 3 points were make sure that what's done is implementable, tested, and isn't going to screw up. Number two, plan to reveal evaluation results at one time. And third, be sure that any sequencing decision at that point is in the public interest. Okay. Global, thank you. I'm going with that. All right, thank you very much. We do have a few other topics that the board asked us to address. One is the budget process. So, and I think Chris, did you have I understand there's just something very brief we can tell the board about the budget process? Our views on it, or going forward?
I think at the highest level, we're sort of heading in the right direction, but we need to go more, particularly with the detail, which is the same as previous years. We've heard rumours that it's not a matter of transparency and decisions as to what level of detail we can be given, but it's there's technical problems with new software and things. Heard that since our meeting with, I think it was mentioned, CCNSO and the GNSO Council meeting. So we could raise that.
Can I, since I focus on this a lot, so the question that we're asked is the budget and the ops plan cycle. I think saying we're going in, I think we probably need to say a little bit more about the difficulty that the community has in providing effective comments due to the lack of information and the fact that there are huge buckets of money with not enough breakdown on the descriptions, right, Danny, I would say, and Chris. So we can't just talk about the cycle. And I think saying there's not enough detail, we have to actually give them a little more guidance. It is not just a question of numbers, but there needs to be enough of a project description for the community to comment on it. The second thing that I would say is I feel very strongly that the approach they're taking, we need to return, and I'd like to make this point. For some of you, you are not aware that we used to have a 3 to 4 hour working session on these processes in a deep dive, and those who were focused on these topics worked through them. Xavier has been experimenting with trying to put a shorter version of that back in. I think that is an excellent thing and should continue, but I ask to have that session done either on the Friday. Typically people who do the deep dive are also consumed by other things. But not everybody is interested in the deep dive. So I asked to have that meeting moved to the day at the afternoon after the board meeting so that the people who are interested could stay, or the Friday before. And I do think we need to find a time cycle when people can do the deep dive that doesn't interfere with the policy work. The timing, Chris, I think is another question of, is the timing working for us on the cycle?
Okay. Bill, do you have a comment on the budget process? Did anybody else want to comment on the budget process?
Bill. Bill Smith, PayPal. I will take a perhaps heretical view, and that is to suggest that the process is broken. And I don't think it's ICANN's fault. I think it's the community's fault. I see that we each of our constituencies, organizations, whatever, evaluates the budget, and we spend a lot of time doing that. That's a lot of work. And I submit that we may want to consider a different model, which would be to use something like the review team model or what the board will have, which is a finance committee, and establish something that is community-wide that looks at it basically all at once to get synthesized comments back in a shorter period of time with less work. As this organization grows and has grown, the processes, procedures that were used 10 years ago may not apply going forward. And the budget now is, you know, we're at $70 million and growing. And when you get to that size, going deep diving down to tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars becomes problematic. We have to put some faith in the organization, the staff, the executives, and the board, that they, in fact, will do the right thing. If we don't, this organization will be crippled.
Okay, other comments on the budget process? I'm just not sure what we can tell the board at this point other than that we're discussing. I mean, I think there's some general things that we are supportive of the efforts to try to get the community more integrated into this process, whether that takes the form of the sessions that you're talking about committee.
But don't we want to recognize the progress that Xavier has already made, the fact he has created the committee that we ask him for? I'll just make a point. Actually, deep dive means you go down to the several hundred thousands of dollars. It's not a very deep dive. But I think we ought to recognize that.
Yeah, I think we would agree that's a step in the right direction.
And the timeliness of the getting the material, which he is working very hard on.
Right. Okay, if there are no further comments on the budget process, can we turn to the two other issues that the board has asked us to address? One is the registrar accreditation agreement, and the other is the Who Is Review Task Force. In the IPC, and this is Steve Metallett speaking for the IPC, we have discussed this. We've reviewed the materials that were posted on time this time. We haven't reviewed the material that was posted the day before we got here from the registrars. But I think our message is basically positive. We think that the staff, having put out a proposal for a revised RIA, it has a lot of the the important improvements in it, not just law enforcement improvements, but also those that were identified, some of those that were identified as high priorities by the GNSO/ALAC drafting team. So it's basically a positive message, but we think there are that the proposal on verification of who is data still is flawed, and notably because there's no requirement for proxy services to verify the data on the true registrant. There was a little back and forth about that in the plenary, and so perhaps there is some progress on that. And that it doesn't require registrars to make use of commercially accessible commercial address verification systems that are readily available for many jurisdictions. So on the privacy and proxy service issue, I think we have a concern that although there seems to be agreement in principle that there should be an accreditation program, we need to know more about how that accreditation program would be set up. It obviously could be a recipe for lots of delay. We could be sitting here 3 years from now still trying to have an accreditation program. So our proposal was a time certain be put into the agreement so that if an accreditation program is not in place by that time, ICANN could set accreditation standards. We think it is very important to prohibit cyber squatting by registrars and their affiliates. And there should be some more detail in the proposal on that. And then finally, on the question of incentives for adoption of the new registrar accreditation agreement, our view is that the strongest could be a number of incentives, but the strongest one would be to condition entry into the registrar market for the new GTLDs on adopting the new RAA for all of your registrations. So that's the proposal that's come out of the IPC. I did circulate this material to the leadership of the other constituencies, and I don't know whether there's been any chance to discuss it in the other constituencies, but I'd like to put that on the table for our presentation to the board. Comments, questions, agreements, or disagreements are now in order.
Let me just look at Steve to see if he wanted to make any comments.
I see Bill. Is anybody else? Bill.
Sure. Bill Smith, PayPal. As I said yesterday, a retired member of the Who Is review team, but I'm not speaking for the review team. I am speaking for PayPal. The RAA is a mess, frankly. It has bits of policy in it, Who Is policy, policy in terms of how we create policy, and it ties us, I believe, this organization in knots in terms of any time we want to put a new policy in, we go look, well, there's something in the RAA. That can't be changed. We have people living with an old RAA. PayPal did put in some suggestions for how to change this. I don't believe that they have been looked at. And instead, what is happening, we are... ICANN is going in negotiating based on the current form of agreement. And I believe we may have an opportunity here, like we're not going to have for 5 or 10 more years, to make a substantive change to the form of these contracts and how they will, how this organization can move going forward. I think we could be far more effective with better agreements. I don't know that we can establish that as a position here, but I certainly have been advocating that with the board members I've spoken with.
Others in the queue, Steve?
Thanks, Steve Del Bianco. The business constituency's written position on the RAA had been, first, that it needed to take care of all 12 of the LEA priorities. And then the second was a carrot. The BC suggested that no registrar should be permitted to sell distribute any names in the new GTLDs unless they embrace the RAA. And a clarification to that would be they would have to embrace the RAA for all the names they sell, not just the new ones. So that's strictly a carrot and not a stick. And we likened it to the fact that registries who wanted to run a new GTLD had to agree to the new contract. They weren't allowed to use their old contracts for that. So the same kind of carrot
should be used with registrars as well.
Okay, I think there's agreement on that. I just say to the points Bill raised, I tend to agree with a lot of what he's said. I think the question we're faced with now, we heard from Akram, this is something that has to happen very soon. Obviously, it was supposed to be done at the San Jose meeting, and we're going to be at least 6 months late, but I think it's really important to have a strong position going forward, because right now I think we have essentially a good proposal with some changes needed from the staff, and we've got to put, you know, get the registrars onto this. So I think I would kind of try to stick in the path that we are now, although I take very seriously the points that Bill raised about there's some fundamental issues here. Of course, we wanted to be at that table, too, but that was not to be.
But, Steve, is there a consensus with respect to the carrot-style incentive for adoption, or did you have in mind some other form of making sure that it's adopted?
No, that's completely consistent with the IPC position. Okay. Again, in the interest of time, the Who Is Review Team final report is up for action. I know the BC has put in some comments on the final report. The IPC is late, and we'll be putting in reply comments, I guess, which will still be open. But we did have very extensive comments on the draft report. It strikes me, a lot of what's significant about this, of course, is that it's an affirmation of commitments report. And the first one was all of its recommendations were adopted. Now, they haven't all been implemented, but the board agreed to all of those recommendations. And I think it should come in with a benefit of some presumption of that. In this case, obviously, there's going to be debate and discussion about these, but the important thing about an affirmation of commitments review is that there's a timeline in the affirmation, and if the board respects that, they have to act on it within 6 months, which is basically the end of this year. So it's not, you know, a closed book at this point, but I certainly think we should be basically quite supportive of the Who Is Policy Review Team recommendations. The importance of making Who Is accuracy a strategic priority for ICANN, and making that something that at the highest levels of the ICANN staff there's responsibility for, setting some targets and some metrics for moving forward on that. I will say frankly that, as I said before, that I think I'm somewhat skeptical about reliance totally on a accreditation policy for dealing with the proxy and privacy service providers, but that seems to be the consensus that was reached within the review team. And basically, I think we should be urging the board to adopt it. Now, they also want to get into some questions about what has to go through a PDP and what has to, what modality should be used to implement this. And I don't think there's any one answer to that, but there's a lot that the board can do without having to wait 3 years for a PDP to be finished, and we should be urging them to move as quickly as possible. That's kind of the IPC view, I believe, which I will, of course, be open to any comments from IPC members and also from other constituencies.
So Let me make a quick observation. The board, I think we need to take the position that regardless of the mechanism that the board chooses, that it should not be optional. It should not be optional to implement. That is, this is a review team. Review team recommendations to me ought to be at a much higher level of priority, and that is the assumption is they will be implemented. They wouldn't have made it out of the review team had they not really received all the scrubbing and analysis. So if things are sent to the GNSO Policy Council, I think that has to come with instruction that the PDP is about implementation, not opening a debate on whether or not to implement. I am an expert at listening to the council from time to time try to relitigate whether or not they are going to do something or not. So I would like the instructions to be, if it goes to the council. The second point I would make is the council is actually technically
capable of doing fast-track PDPs. We did that in the past. I'm looking, not going to look at counselors who will kill me for this idea, but it is possible to do a fast-track PDP. They may need additional staff support. They may have to prioritize. But that may be another thing to think about if recommendations from review teams go to the council, then additional resources may have to be provided to the council in order to manage the work.
Yes, thanks, Steve. Much of what I wanted to say, you've said, and Marilyn has said as well. The ISPs, we did comment on the draft report, and when we saw the final report, we were even more pleased. I think this review team did a really great job on who is. And so we have filed comments again on the final report as well, certainly urging the board to act on the recommendations. And we made the point within that response that we felt if the action didn't follow on, then what was set out in the AOC clearly wasn't being achieved. So there is a need to act on this, and we're totally behind the recommendations that came out. We recognise there are issues on how you implement them and how it interacts with the GNSO issues as well. But the key message for us to give to the board is we are expecting you to act on this report, and if you don't do that, then you're failing in your duties with regards to the AOC.
Okay, I think we need to... let me ask Bill, as a member of the review team, if he wants to comment briefly.
Yeah, very quickly. I'm not speaking for the review team, but I was a member. Thanks, Tony. Very kind words. We did work very hard. Just a reminder, if you haven't heard, when we began our work, we decided that we would issue no recommendation unless we had consensus. And we had representation from every... you know, across the spectrum from ICANN. Reaching consensus in some instances was extremely difficult. As you know, privacy proxy, as an example, was a very difficult set of discussions for us, but we ended up at consensus and said, okay, this is something that will move things forward. We believe, you know, advance things and be positive for everyone. So I encourage basically anyone I talk to request that the board adopt the recommendations as is. We did not. We stayed away from prescribing how to implement a recommendation because we felt that was beyond our remit. So appreciative of the comments that I've heard, and we did attempt to be responsive to all comments. But thanks.
Thank you, and I think all of us join in thanking you and the other members of the review team for their service. I definitely support what Tony just said about your work product. Okay, I think we are just about out of time. We're going to need to move next door in a moment, and I think in that regard, the seating setup does depend on our helping, you know, moving in there to get our seats and make sure you can sit up as close to the front as possible. Hopefully observers, because it is an open meeting, will be farther back, and the setup is not ideal, but we're going to do our best. I want to, unless there's any closing comments, I want to thank everybody for their participation. I think it's been a very productive meeting, and we'll see you next door.
Sorry, Steve. I just have one. For the BC, you may note that you have an irregular start time of 1:20 because the SAC is coming at 1:30, and we need to be, and they only have 20 minutes, so we need to be in seated with roll call before they come. Thank you.
You may disconnect the recordings. Thank you.